Hello, my name is Charlie Moores from Off the Leash Podcasts, and you're about to listen to a shortcast from author and field naturalist Joe Gray. Joe talks about the importance of ethics in conservation and reads a short extract from his just published novel, The Gardens of Green Spring Road. Author royalties from this and from Joe's previous book, 13 Paces by 4, are being donated to the World Land Trust.
There are so many urgent actions described and vital critiques presented in the Off the Leash podcasts, but sometimes it can be good to take a step back from the details, for a moment at least, and to think about the deeper motivations that underlie the work of the conservation movement. This movement is something I consider myself to be a part of, and through a process of elimination, in which art and music have proved too challenging for my hands, organising things too stressful for my brain, and chaining myself to trees beyond what my stomach can stand, I find my role within it being that of a writer. In my writing, as well as considering the nitty-gritty of conservation work, I often like to think about the bigger issues at play, and for me, there is no larger issue than ethics. In regard to conservation, I believe that a recognition of the independent moral standing of non-human beings is an idea more powerful than any other. Its implications are enormously wide-reaching, and the challenges that it presents to current ways of living are profound. Yet it runs counter to what seems to be an increasingly popular narrative in conservation, where value is derived from that which directly benefits humans. Nature, we are told, is there to deliver us ecosystem services, and, as such, can be brought inside human economic reckoning, rather than being reverenced as the living whole on which human economies draw. Conservation, we are told, is important because it makes our lives as humans better. This human-centred framing of nature conservation is a perversely distorting lens through which to view the wider world around us. And while the tactical appeal of such an idea is obvious, a major problem with it is that it fails to offer a robust challenge to the domination of the earth by modern human societies and, as such, misses the root cause of escalating and devastating biodiversity loss. If you would like to learn more about this, I recommend that you visit the website of The Ecological Citizen, which is ecologicalcitizen.net. This is a journal that I co-founded. Coming back to my role as a writer, I wanted to mention a couple of my recent works, if I may. The first is 13 Paces by 4 and was published in January this year by Dixie Books. The title honours the size of my suburban back garden, which is the focus of the book. In it, I discuss encounters with wild beings in the garden, the cohabitors of the garden, within the context of biophilia, ecological ethics, and the rights of nature. After finding inspiration for that book in my backyard, I got stuck on the theme and ended up writing a novel, my first such work, that also centred on life in urban gardens. It came out at the end of August this year under my pen name Dewey Dabber and was also published by Dixie. The book is titled The Gardens of Green Spring Road, and the central character in it is a 15-year-old girl of Bengali heritage who is undergoing a transformation to an ecocentric worldview in a place called Thornley. All of the author royalties from both the books that I have mentioned are being donated to the World Land Trust. I'm going to conclude with a short reading from The Gardens of Green Spring Road, taken from the opening of the first chapter. You might find it to be a bit of a grim start if, like me, you care about trees, but there are numerous brighter moments thereafter. This is the extract. It was early January, and the air in Thornley was as crisp with the easterly cold as it was acrid with injustice. The previous year had been a traumatic one for the already bludgeoned woodland that fringed this burgeoning English settlement. On the north edge of town, the unnaturally rectangular greenspring wood, which was Thornley's largest surviving remnant of primevally tree-covered earth, had lost its western third to bulldozers and asphalt rollers, the land being choked of life so that four cheaply constructed commercial units, all servicing that most damaging oxymoron of throwaway materialism, could be added to the abutting Oakview retail park. In the eyes of local politicians, the expansion of the site was both a defiant stand against the rise of online shopping and, in spite of the international nature of the incoming businesses, a strong signal of support for Thornley's economy. Greenspring Wood had been especially vulnerable to development, a term that one and only one of the Earth's innumerable species used in this context. With a footprint of 4.1 acres prior to this latest incursion, it fell under the minimum size stipulated for official recognition as ancient woodland in the pertinent government database, a status that would have offered some kind of protection. More broadly speaking, with each additional intrusion over the centuries, it had become easier to overlook this woodland. There had been, in other words, a snowballing of endangerment. And, of course, the loss of a further 1.3 acres was no help in this regard. As recently as 1900, Greenspring Wood was still nearly 40 acres in extent, but the pressures of two world wars and a steadily rising population, with all the appropriation that this entailed, saw the trees progressively felled and their roots grubbed out. Now, the western half of those 40 acres was used for arable farming, while most of the eastern half had been consumed by the expansion of Thornley. According to local historians, this town gained its name from being a clearing, Lear, in the Thorn, where Thorn described, collectively, the well-armed species such as Maytree and Sloe that could defy the grazing pressure of ruminant beasts and colonise man-made openings in the wildwood. So humans, having conquered the land for their agricultural ends, found themselves needing to keep a second wave of woody species perpetually at bay, and Thornley, in its name, celebrated this twofold triumph: the one-off extinction of primordial wildness, and the ever-after suppression of nature's will to self-revive. For, given a chance, the groves of Thorn would have expanded and, through their defensive prowess, served as natural nurseries in which more palatable species like pedunculate oak could safely flourish. This was when wild oxen still roamed the land, before their kind was extinguished.
Off the Leash Podcasts is on Twitter at OTL Podcasts and on Instagram at OTL Pods. Please do give us a follow and a share. And for more great audio, please subscribe for free via your favourite streaming platform.